I not? Why can't I be the MVP of the league?
You led this Bulls team to the best record in the NBA. You are the youngest MVP in NBA history. And in a league of very valuable players, you are the most valuable, and it is my pleasure to award to you the Kia NBA 2010-11 MVP trophy.
Right here, it's for the city of Chicago more than anything.
Thank you.
No, I appreciate it. My family appreciated it. And the organization appreciate it. Thank you all, and we love you all.
Straight to the top, to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast, coming at you once again. I'm just happy to be here, you know? That's a Jada Kiss reference for those who don't get it. No, I'm glad to be back and recording as always. And thank you guys for following along as usual. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share and all that good stuff. Comment. Let me know what's up. Visit the website. As always, I got to keep reminding folks, check out the website. I'm still working on it, building it out. But I'm glad to be talking about this topic here today. So you guys know I'm a Bulls fan. Bulls fan since probably 1989-90 season, like right before the Bulls took off. That's when I started watching basketball. Michael Jordan was my favorite player initially. Then he retired, and Scottie Pippen became my favorite player. Bulls won 6 chips. We were on top of the world as fans. Like, being a Bulls fan in the 90s, like, that was it. Mike went to play baseball. We had those 1 and 2 years, really 1.5, 2 years, where things didn't go our way. The Bulls should have been in the finals again, but Hugh Hollins messed us up with a phantom call on Scottie Pippen. Where the hell is Hugh Hollins anyway? He went into hiding. What happened to Hugh Hollins, huh? Where you at, you? Huh? Bulls should have been back in the finals the year Jordan retired. But Hugh Hollins with a phantom call, Hubert Davis shooting a 3 on Scottie Pippen. That team was ready to go back to the finals and probably challenge the Rockets. I don't know if they would have beaten the Rockets, because the Rockets had Dream, peak Dream. But they should have been back in the finals. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. But being a Bulls fan in the 90s, man, it was life. It was, dude, you had the greatest basketball player on your team, and you knew he was Superman, and you knew he would come through every time, and he was never going to let us lose as a Bulls fan. And then he retired again for good, left the Bulls. Bulls broke up. Scottie went to the Rockets and then to the Blazers. And during that time, after Jordan retired, Scottie left, the team broke up. It was tough being a Bulls fan. They weren't really contending for anything. They weren't really winning anything. And then they started to build the team back up. And they got Luol Deng. And they got Noah and Ben Gordon. And these guys were called the Baby Bulls. And they went on some pretty nice playoff runs. Scott Skiles as the coach, Vinny Del Negro. Like, they did some things, right? They left the Tim Floyd years behind, which were disastrous, terrible. They broke up that Bulls dynasty for Tim Floyd because Jerry Krause wanted Tim Floyd, his boy. And those years were straight garbage. It was horrible being a fan, but we started winning again with the Baby Bulls. And so as a fan, we went through that roller coaster, and then the Bulls with a 1.7% chance of getting the number one draft pick in 2008 gets the number one draft pick in the lottery, and it just so happens to be the year that the hometown kid who went to play at Memphis for Coach John Calipari, is right there for the Bulls to take them, to take him. Hometown Chicago kid. This ain't LeBron Akron. LeBron claims Akron. He clearly tells you he's not from Cleveland. He's from Akron. But the hometown kid, Derrick Rose, is right there. Who's going to go number one? Derrick Rose or Michael Beasley? 1-2. And Michael Beasley was a baller at Kansas State. He was putting up nasty numbers, double-doubles every night, unstoppable. His jump shot was wet post-game. Like, he was offensively unstoppable, a monster. But Derrick Rose was doing his thing at Memphis, took his team to the championship game as a freshman. Freaking unstoppable, like too quick, like unstoppable. And as a Bulls fan, I was torn. Not going to lie to you. Because I watched Derrick Rose play in the finals. I was like, this dude is sick. But then I watched Kansas State and Michael Beasley. I was like, this guy is nasty. And he's big, like 6'10 or whatever he is. But the Bulls, of course, had to draft the hometown kid, D. Rose, Derrick Rose, drafted number one overall. And the story is like, the story tells itself. Like, we all grow up as kids, man. We want to play for our hometown or we want to play for our favorite team. I grew up dreaming about wanting to be Michael Jordan, wanting to be 6'6", 220 pounds. That dream never came to fruition, obviously. That was a prayer of mine, honestly. God didn't answer that prayer. I wanted to be 6'6", 220, jumping like Michael Jordan, dunking on fools. Not even close. Wanted to play for the Chicago Bulls, man. Wanted to play for the Miami Dolphins. Very few kids get to live the dream of playing for their favorite team or their hometown team. And here comes Derrick Rose, man. To a team that's the Baby Bulls. They're scraping by, trying to make the playoffs. Had some really good playoff series. But people knew they weren't real contenders. Fun team to watch, though. But then they got Derrick Rose. And Tom Thibodeau came along. And that completely changed the trajectory of that franchise as a Bulls fan. From as a rookie, Derrick came in and you just saw it. Like, this guy was going to be something serious. He was strong, he was fast, and he was quick. He was fearless. His style was a playground style of basketball for us old heads. That's what we grew up with. We didn't grow up with dudes shooting a bunch of threes and step backs. It was tough in the paint in your face. He had a 40-something inch vertical, and he maximized it. His body control was like nobody else. Like, there is not another point guard in NBA history with Derrick Rose's body control. And maybe like 5-10 guys in NBA history total. You think of Jordan and Vince, like guys with Derrick's body control and athleticism. But immediately he came in and had an impact as a rookie, rookie of the year. Like, he was that guy, man. First playoff run, he goes ballistic against the defending champion Celtics. Unstoppable. Triple-double, 30-point triple-double in his first ever playoff game. Who does that? D. Rose? He brought life back to the city. He brought life back as a Bulls fan. He reinvigorated the franchise that had been down for so long after Jordan and Pippen left. He was ready to carry the torch, man. And from that rookie season and the next year, like, he took the league by storm, all-star game, and he was that dude. And then 2011 comes around. And they asked them, media day, they asked them a question, you know, what's next? What's he going to do? What's his plan? And Derek, you know, he's a humble guy. He's proud. He's confident, but also humble. And as he's talking, you know, he's not, you know, bragging about it. He's just saying matter-of-factly, which he does, right? He speaks with confidence. He speaks just from his heart. Matter-of-factly, Derek says, why can't I be the MVP? Why can't I be the best player in the NBA? And in that year, the Bulls get Carlos Boozer, but Carlos Boozer spends a whole bunch of time on the injured list. And Joakim Noah spends a whole bunch of time injured. So it's Derek and Luol Deng and a bunch of guys, no shooting around him, no spacing, and they go on to lead the league in wins. And he's dominating every point guard in his path, and he's clearly the best PG in the game. And he's going crazy and crazy layups and dunks and acrobatics. And this guy is going nuts. Last second buzzer beaters. That, if you miss Derrick Rose's MVP season, like, where were you at? You weren't born yet? That's your only excuse? But he put on a show every night. He went at fools, taking names and dropping bodies, not scared of anybody. LeBron in the Heat at the time, LeBron, D. Wade, Bosh, didn't care. He never threw his teammates under the bus. He never talked about the fact that he didn't have much scoring around him. He was just Derrick Rose, man. He was D. Rose. The Chicago kid. And as a fan, Derek took me back to my childhood. I was still in my 20s. When he got drafted, I didn't have any kids yet. I was still a hardcore Bulls fan, and he gave me something to celebrate as a Bulls fan. But then he gets hurt, 2012, and he becomes the biggest what if ever. What if Derrick Rose had stayed healthy? Does LeBron run through the East every year like he did forever? How many championships do the Bulls win? How many finals do they go to? Continue to build around him? Who knows? And as much as I like to play the what-ifs game, what I do know is how Derrick Rose made 20-year-old me feel as a basketball fan, as a Bulls fan. Because he played a style that was distinct to him. There is no other Derrick Rose. There is other athletic PGs, but there is no other combination of size, speed, strength, quickness. That is uniquely him. Russell Westbrook can jump high, is fast. But Russell Westbrook is straight line speed. Russell Westbrook is, I'm going to go straight at you and dunk the ball. Whereas D. Rose can run through a maze with the ball and in the air. So whereas Westbrook is a jet or a high-speed train, D. Rose is like, I don't know, those planes that be, you know, doing special acrobatic, special air shows. He was electric. He wasn't looking for a screen. He was coming straight at you. And in that way, he was distinctly like a Kobe, like an Iverson, like a Jordan. He was coming for your net. He wasn't looking for the mismatch. If whoever was in his way, he was coming right at you. Remember the All-Star game where everybody's dancing and he's standing there straight face? You can tell that he loved the game, but he loved the game. And his body got worn down, and his body couldn't keep up with the acrobats and the wild shots and the landing. And that quickness is so unnatural, man. That combination is, that torque he puts on his knees is not natural. So his body failed him. So I remember in 2012, that playoff game against the Pacers, first round, game one. I remember that game. I had my first son at the time. People say, well, he shouldn't have been in the game. It would have happened sooner or later, probably. His knees were probably done. Ton of games as AAU, as a youngster, like heavy minutes in the NBA. His body was done. But I remember that playoff game. I just remember seeing the message on my phone. We were at some friend's house, that it was an ACL, and he was gone for the rest of the season, for the rest of the playoffs. I don't know if I've ever felt so broken as a fan. But that hurt. But Derek kept fighting, man. That's who he was. He kept fighting to come back. He fought his body. He could have easily gave up. Came back the next year, like six games into the season. The next year, he says he has to sit out the whole year. And people think he's coming back for the playoffs. And he chooses to sit out the whole year because he knew his body didn't feel right. And he took a hell of a lot of flack for it. A lot of dudes now get to sit out and load manage. And for no reason, they got a little toe ache. They bumped their toe. But Derrick Rose got a lot of flack for a lot of dudes when after his ACL, he didn't come back that whole season. And people thought he was supposed to come back and subject his knees to more trauma. People wanted him to come back and save the Bulls even after rupturing his ACL the previous season, late in the year. So he caught a lot of hell. Derrick Rose caught a lot of hell. Where nowadays, dudes just load manage for any little thing. And the media has nothing to say about it. But when Derrick Rose was looking out for himself, everybody had something to say and bashed this dude. When he was coming off a serious injury. But nowadays, it's expected. Organizations are actually telling dudes now that they should load manage. Organizations are encouraging their players to take time off for no reason. Take a break. But in 2012, after Derrick Rose had gotten hurt, and into 2013, he was getting bashed. And before every playoff game, when the Bulls made the playoffs, before every playoff game, they would show him, you know, in the layup line pregame, warming up. And that was just the media setting him up to be bashed by the fans and pundits. And he took all those shots. Never said a word. Derrick Rose took all those shots from the media to the point where nowadays dudes get to chill at home for no reason and still get paid. They call it load management now. That should go on the record, the precedence that was set because of Derrick Rose. how he was blasted for looking out for himself, but players are expected to do that now. Matter of fact, organizations encourage it now. He was an icon. The Derrick Rose rule performed so well in his first 3 years, like they made a rule to bump up dudes' salaries as a result. And now dudes are getting paid more because of the Derrick Rose rule after their first contract. So he kept fighting. He kept coming back. He kept trying to push himself despite all of the pain. And you could see it. He lost some of his ability. I mean, he still had plenty of game. But he after a while, the wear and tear of going back on an injury list, you could tell, man, as a fan, it took away from him. It took away his mindset to just go 100. Derrick Rose went 100% all the time as a Bull. And the further on he gone, the further on he went after all these injuries, you could tell he wasn't willing to go 100% all the time anymore because he knew his body would give out on him. So he gets traded from the Bulls. I say it was a terrible decision. I still think he had game, him and Jimmy Butler. But he gets traded. Goes to the Knicks, doesn't work out too well. Goes to Cleveland. He ponders retirement a couple times, comes back, and all of that. But you know what, man? That brother was a fighter. And as a fan, that's all you could ask for is the people you root for, the people you spend your hours watching, that they fight. They act like they care. And Derrick Rose cared about basketball. He wanted to win. Win at all costs. Never threw his teammates under the bus. This dude was playing with Joakim Noah and Taj Gibson, guys who had literally no offensive game. Keith Bogans was the starting shooting guard his MVP year. Never complained about the fact that his starting shooting guard couldn't shoot. Never at all. When people talk about, well, Derrick Rose was inefficient, they don't understand that the reason Derrick Rose was inefficient was because the paint was crowded because he had zero shooting around him. And outside of Carlos Boozer, he had nobody on the team who could get a shot on their own. So he had to create, and sometimes he had to take bad shots because if he didn't take those bad shots, then Joakim Noah wouldn't be able to get an offensive rebound and Taj Gibson wouldn't be able to get an offensive rebound to put the ball in. Oftentimes, Derrick Rose taking a tough layup, which he made a lot of tough layups, but Derrick Rose taking a tough layup was probably the best offense for the Bulls at the time because that was the only way Joakim Noah could grab a rebound and put it back up. Because if you get Joakim Noah the ball, otherwise, he was going to travel. He was going to blow it. These guys had no offensive game. So for the people who say Derrick Rose was inefficient, and of course it's the new wave of nerds now who look at efficiency, they don't understand that sometimes when you're playing with certain people, it's better that you take the bad shot. It's better that you take a tough shot because if you give them the ball, they're going to travel. Or they're going to put up an even worse shot. So your bad shot is better than even their best shot. And that's what Derrick Rose had to deal with on the Bulls during that MVP season. So no, his shooting percentages aren't going to be as high as Steph Curry, who's playing in a wide open league with different rules and shooters all around him. But he made it work. He fought through it. He fought through the injuries. He played his game. He developed the three-point shot. His shot got better as his career went along. And he lasted, what, 15 years? So I just wanted to give Derrick Rose his flowers as he announced his retirement last week. I love that guy, man. What can I say? I love that guy. I followed him. Went to the Knicks, followed him. Watching Cavs games, watching Grizzlies games. And his body just failed him. He tried, man. He tried. But through it all, he fought. He became a mentor. You could tell teams looked up to him. He went to the Knicks the second time back with the Knicks. Like, that team was okay. Great defensive team under Tom Thibodeau. Thibodeau's first year there. But they traded for Derrick Rose, and he came in and just carried them in the playoffs. Taking over games in the playoffs. Won them a playoff game against the Hawks when Julius Randle was a no-show. And R.J. Barrett was a no-show. No knees, Derrick Rose won a playoff game against Trae Young and the Hawks. And by then, Derrick's body was broken down. But he continued fighting. There's not many people in the NBA like Derrick Rose anymore. There is a lot of dudes who just, they play basketball because they're good at it, but they don't love the game anymore. The love of the game is gone. And a lot of guys. So if your team has a guy that loves the game like that, like, you got to cherish him, man, because it's a lot of guys just making a hell of a lot of money because they're just good at it, but they don't really love basketball, man. Derrick Rose would have played basketball for free. And that's what fans appreciate. That's what that was the city. That was Chicago. The city of Chicago appreciated that. That whole squad with Luol. Luol had to go to the hospital to get IV or some stuff like that. Like, Joakim Noah playing, like, with no knees and cost him later on in his career. And Taj Gibson was a warrior. Like, those teams battled, and they were led by their MVP. The team respected him. The league respected him. Dudes were scared of him. So as Derrick retires, man, I wish that dude nothing but the best. He has his family. His son PJ plays basketball. He's just one of those guys I just want to see succeed in life, man. Rough beginnings. He talks about his life growing up in his house and being in a basement, having PTSD, because if the door slams shut too hard, you don't know if it's gunshots or what. West side of Chicago kid. Rose that grew from concrete. So I don't have too many sports idols anymore. I don't have any sports idols anymore, but as a kid, you know, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were my idols. Dan Marino was an idol of mine. But literally, like, Derrick Rose was in my late 20s, early 30s. Derrick Rose was that guy, man. And I wanted him to do so well. He did well for himself. He battled LeBron in the Heat in the playoffs. Never backed down. People wanted him to another superstar to court Melo. He never, you know, threw his teammates under the bus like that. He was loyal. I appreciated that loyalty. He was just him. It was like, yo, I'm going to run with who I got. And he did. He did. So, yeah, I wanted to dedicate an episode to Derrick Rose. As a fan, and just as a guy who plays basketball, like, he plays basketball like someone who grew up playing on a playground. Tough, coming straight at you. Real basketball. So that's what I wanted to talk about today, y'all. Show some love to the MVP, youngest MVP ever. People say, well, is he gonna make the Hall of Fame? If Yao Ming can make the Hall of Fame, Derrick Rose can make the Hall of Fame. All right? Check the numbers. The impact he had on the culture, on the NBA, on salaries. Now you got the next generation of point guards, the Ja Morants, who, like, these guys are baby D Roses. He impacted so many, his shoes, his everything, his humility, like, all of it. So I think he should be in. But if even if he doesn't get into Hall of Fame, you a Hall of Famer to me, man. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, y'all. I'm going to leave it here, man. Getting emotional. The end of an era. I'm going to catch y'all next time. Mike. Sports and the real shit. Peace. I'm going straight to the top, just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.